The Paradise Vibes Only podcast is in many ways a celebration of the island of the Bahamas. Although Roz and I have never been there, through our friendship with Lou and Todd, we've come to appreciate and love this collection of islands in the Atlantic Ocean. The loving way these guys describe their home country drips with nostalgia and permeates every segment of the Paradise Vibes Only podcast. As many of you know, after we recorded our last episode, Hurricane Dorian decimated the island with Category 5 strength, killing over 60 people, displacing countless others. While we knew our friends were safe in the United States, our thoughts immediately went to their friends and family who still live there. While thankfully, they were all safe too, the devastation did not spare a large portion of the Bahamian population. Therefore, in addition to our usual lighthearted topics across the sports and pop culture spectrum, we felt it was important to chat with the guys about the aftermath and how they plan to help their beautiful country rebuild. We were also joined by fellow Bahamian and Blue Jays outfielder prospect Chavez Young, who will discuss some of his fundraising efforts as well. We will also have the guys make predictions about the upcoming LCS matchups, their plans for the offseason. We'll get an update on the Don't Blink Home Run Derby, and we will get into our usual What Are You Right Into Right Now? And we will cap it off as I will learn some Bahamian lingo. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Thinking about my grandmama's, I got the number one record, they acknowledge the jit. They going crazy when they play a head bobbing and and I'm just someone for thinking about my father and they found him dead a couple days before I started to the same day. I flew back to the city from Miami. I was out there with the fam, just looking at my door, thinking to myself, like, damn, my baby looks just like my dad. Same time I got the news, my was number one, that's fucked up. This that was confusing a little bit. You know I flew in with the stick. Okay, like, let me know.
Hey everybody, this is the Paradise Vibes Only podcast. Thanks for coming back. Episode 4, we're at it. We're going to be doing these a little bit more often now that we've reached the off season. Todd and Lou having a little bit more time on their hands, not playing baseball every day. As always, we're brought to you by don'tplinkapparel.com. That's Todd and Lucius's clothing line. Check it out as well. We're spread out for this one. I'm in New York, Tim McMaster here. Todd Isaacs is in Florida. Lucius Fox is in the Bahamas. And then Chavez Young joining us today, a special guest. Chavez, welcome to the show. You're down there in Florida too, but not in the same spot as Todd, right?
No, right. I'm in St. Pete, Florida.
All right. You're the first official guest we've had on the PVO podcast. Are you honored with that distinction?
Man, it's a blessing, man. You know, I'm honored, you know, to be around legends.
All right, we're getting a lot to get to on the podcast this time. Obviously, Hurricane Dorian, still a big deal and still things are recovering down there in the Bahamas, so we want to talk a little bit about that. But let's start by just getting to know Chavez a little bit. Blue Jays organization, Todd, why don't you take this away and take this interview away with Chavez and let us know a little bit about him.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Chavez, he's a close friend of ours that we've been playing against all our lives. He's from Grand Bahama, Team GB, so when we play in a World Baseball Classic with Great Britain, whenever the team breaks down and says GB, he tries to force all of us from Nassau to say GB, and we never say it because of all the whooping we put on him through the years. But, you know, we're honored to have him. He's making history. He's our first ever guest of the PVO pod. And, you know, I just want to welcome him. So Hollywood, that's the nickname we call him, because my guy is full of energy, he's full of life, and I'm excited for this podcast with him. So, Chavez, welcome to the PVO pod. You know, let the world know who you are and don't be afraid.
appreciate it. Yeah, my name is Chavez Young. I'm from Freeport, Grand Bahama, and I play for the Toronto Blue Jays, which originally drafted in 2016.
So, we're saying that, Chavez, we're playing with the Blue Jays. You know, I know you spent this past year in the Florida State League with the Dunedin Blue Jays, and you are stay with the Bichettes, you know, you develop a close relationship with them over the years. How's that been for you? Like, what's that like being around, you know, such great baseball family all the time?
From the baseball standpoint, you know, it's all something to learn or something to listen. You know, they're just full of knowledge. Where I would say, like for Bo, what I'm learning at 21, he probably learned when he was at 16. So, like, he's more advanced and just, you know, always thinking, trying to get better in the game. And, you know, you always want to be around someone like that, you know, who wants to get better every second. and doesn't take it for granted. And then obviously Dante Bichette Sr. is a big blessing for me, you know, someone I always come to during the season. I would always come to and ask him questions like, hey man, I don't feel this way, what you think I'm going? And or like a day off wherever you just, he would carry me on a little baseball field and he would throw to me and, you know, try to do some live at bats, and, you know, so I try to take advantage of, you know, having these guys around and, you know, picking their brain a little bit.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. You know, it's a great family to be around. You know, Bo, obviously, you know, from day one when I played against him, and when Lucius and I played against him in low A, you know, he stood out. He stood out. He had a balanced approach, and you could tell that they knew what they were doing. And, you know, it's just, I feel that it's something that, you know, it's a blessing that you get to be a part of every day. And I'm looking forward to see if he hits this year in the Home Run Derby. I doubt he will, but if he does, I know Lucius will probably pick him with his number one pick, which is fine, because we will two-peat again, because, you know, Team Hollywood is representing Team Isaacs, and, you know, yes, we shoot for that two-peat this year.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What you got with that, Lou?
I say, how you know Hollywood on your team? First off,
you got to go over slow, Lou, off, if you want me. You got to go.
If you want to talk money, my team never short on money. You know what I mean? We kind of like the Yankees, kind of like the Patriots. You know, like we're not short on money. So
hey, I know what y'all like. Y'all like the Dodgers, bro. Y'all got the most money in baseball and can never finish.
Okay, but I mean, stuff happens. You know, it was 1 year. We'll see what happens this year. I'm going to the drawing board and I'll talk to my scouts who have been watching these guys throughout the year. And we'll make a decision. I don't know who I'm taking with my number one pick, so we'll see closer to Home Run Derby time.
So the system there, obviously the Blue Jays are kind of in a situation where they were rebuilding, but you got to see, you mentioned Bo, he's up at the big league club. Vladdy Jr.'s up there. All these guys on their way up. Chavez, you're a little bit behind those guys as far as the levels go, but how cool is it to be part of an organization that has so many young guys on the rise?
It's crazy because, like, you look on TV and you see these guys and be like, man, I know these guys. You play with these guys and you read this just when you realize how close you are, you know, and this when you realize when you gotta lock it in, you can't take nothing for granted and you just gotta keep on pushing forward, you know. But especially how these guys are up there in the big leagues now, you get a little. You ask them questions, whereas, man, how does it feel? Is it different from the minor leagues? Like, is it worth it? And stuff like that. And obviously the answer is yes. Everything is worth it. Every second what we go through in the grind is worth it when you reach the big league stage.
Hey, Lucius, the three of you guys, how far do you guys go back? Do you go back to is it before you guys came to the States and played high school ball in Florida? Or is it back when you actually all were growing up in the Bahamas, or is it since you've gotten into pro ball?
I remember I was about, I think I was either 9 or 10 years old, and I remember going to Freeport to play in a nationals tournament. And I remember playing against Chavez because we're very close in age. We're about the same age. And he just had this energy he possessed, and he showed every day. You know, that you saw that he enjoyed playing the game. He was really good at playing baseball, and he just was a fun person to be around. So I remember meeting him, and we made a lot of memories after that. You know, his family, he came from a really good family. I got close with his parents, and he got close to my parents. So even when I see his father, you know, we always talk and try to catch up. But I remember, you know, meeting him at such a young age, and we went on to play in the Little League Cal Ripken World Series, actually, and we won the whole thing. So it was always like a special feeling, special bond when it came to Chavez. You know, I always looked at him as a brother. Whatever I needed, he would provide for me, and vice versa. You know, we just had that close bond. And still to this day, we, no matter where we at in the world, if I call him or if he call me, you know, we always show love, and, you know, we just want to see each other do well.
That's awesome. Good stuff. And it's amazing that you guys stay tight through all these years. That kind of brings us to the serious topic on this podcast, which is the Hurricane Dorian that hit the Bahamas and did so much devastation. And I know all you guys were affected in one way or another. And you were all here in the United States playing baseball when that's happening, where your families are and where everything's going on. And I'm sure that's just a brutal thing to have to deal with. Chavez, you're from Freeport, I think, originally, or down that area. Just talk about the impact on where you're from. Is it bad there? I know it didn't hit the entire islands. It was some parts were hit worse than others. So just kind of fill the people that are listening in on what's going on down where you're from.
So yeah, I'm from Freeport. Actually the central part of Freeport. Obviously, you know, the hurricane hit the east side of Freeport, like the northern side of Freeport, and well, like the surge coming from, because it was coming from Abaco, so it hit the tip from like McLeanstown and West End, and like it was like a big surge, like water surge. Obviously, I was not there. I was here in Florida when it happened, and then I got like 10 or 15 feet of water throughout our corner where I'm from in Coral Reef. And it was like shocking because, you know, like it never, our area, you never thought it would be get flooded with water. And the fact that my brothers them had to evacuate, it was, you know, it was a scary thing. And because it was just like bouncing around, just trying to stay alive, basically. And it was tragic.
I know for me, it didn't hit our island, but I can imagine, you know, me being somewhere else and my family was going through that. Like, especially with your family going through that and you in Florida, like, I remember you calling me and saying, you know, I want to go home. And I was like, for what? Like, although that's your family, like, I feel that you should stay in a safe place. But I honestly could relate in that moment. And, like, after seeing that devastation, I think, too, I would have wanted be home with my family and, you know, just go through that with them because you just don't know what could have happened. You know, so I feel like on the outside looking in, like it's super sad to see what happened to both Abaco and Freeport.
How much were you able to contact and stay in touch with your family down there while it was going on, Chavez? I mean, obviously with that much destruction, there was probably trouble with phone lines and technology and all that stuff. So were you able to in some way get daily updates on everything?
Actually, the phone lines are still up.
Good.
I was WhatsApping my brother or calling my brother. It was just, you know, they got to charge their phone. So they were charging their phone in the car, basically. So I was getting contact with my brothers. You know, my brother like text me, be like, hey, I'm about to turn off my phone, save some battery. So that's the, you know, the most important thing, like when he texts me, letting me know, keep me updated when he leaves, when he turns off his phone. So I don't know, nothing went wrong, you know, because when you see a one tick on WhatsApp, you're like, whoa, what's going on? Is some like the phone dead or like something like that? So, you know, them keeping me updated or whatever, yeah, they handled it well, you know, they handled it well.
Yeah, and all you guys had to deal with it in some way or another. Lou, I'll say this. You guys are playing baseball day in, day out, working on your craft there, trying to, you know, take the next step and get better every day. So did you feel like it had any impact on your play late in the season, or were you able to stay focused? And if so, how did you stay focused with so much going on where you're from?
You know, when I first heard the news, you know, my heart was heavy. You know, I have family in Freeport, a lot of friends in Freeport, and some family in Abaco also. So, you know, I felt for them. And to be honest, Tim, the only thing that got my mind off it was baseball. And I find that being the case with whatever's going on, like once I step onto the field, I feel like I only think about baseball, you know, like I put my all into the game and I don't have any thoughts away from the game or what's going on right now. But once the game is done and I shower up and get home, I automatically get back in that like dark place again because I know exactly what people are going through. And it just, my heart just was heavy, you know, just hearing the stories from, you know, people getting rescued from the roof and some people dying and losing loved ones because of the surge. And you know, all that just was so, so sad. But thankfully, baseball took my mind off it. And, you know, I was just thankful to talk to Chavez and a couple of my other friends from Freeport that had family there. And so what I know now is that they all were okay.
Yeah, and, you know, the scariest part is that you know, with hurricanes, the Bahamas, the like when you build houses, they have to get approved to withstand hurricane force winds, hurricane force weather, and these houses are all built to withstand very strong hurricanes. And this hurricane just sat over Abaco, sat over Freeport, and literally destroyed everything. So that just goes to show the magnitude of the storm. You know, some people say global warming is fake, but I certainly believe that, you know, the climate has to do with how powerful these storms are getting. And, you know, it's kind of scary to look into the future, because every year during hurricane season, there's at least one storm that's going to do damage somewhere. And I feel that, you know, every year these storms get a lot stronger. You know, this storm has had winds of over 220 miles per hour, which is insane. You know, my mom's side of the family is from Abaco. That's where she was raised as a child before she moved to Nassau. And her side of the family, like, I have a uncle that he tried to wait out the storm, because you can't evacuate in the Bahamas. There's nowhere to evacuate to. And he said that he was staying in his house to wait out the storm, and within like a few hours, his roof was gone. They had to, you know, go to their cars and like try to get away. And just like in that moment, there's just a lot of people in survival mode. You know, stories I heard about loved ones having to choose between, you know, their grandma and their brothers and their siblings and stuff like that. It's just absolutely scary. Like, something that, you know, is you think you'd only see it on TV, and for that to happen to the Bahamas, I feel that it just took a toll on everyone, you know, regardless of where you were at in the world. That's where all of our focus was, because the Bahamas is only a population of over 350,000 people. That's, in some places in the United States, that's half of a county. So for us, you know, when people reached out to us and asked us, you know, is your family all right? You know, and my answer to them was, yeah, my family's okay in Nassau, but it still affected me as a whole, because everyone in the Bahamas is family to me. Like, you know, the Bahamas is something that us as baseball players, you know, hold dear and near to our hearts. That's something that we represent and go out every day to play for. You know, we represent a small percentage of a country as a whole and all the professional baseball. So to see that happening while the season was going on, it was something that was scary. It was scary. It was super emotional, and it was just sad to see the devastation. But luckily, you know, a lot of people have been doing a great job in extending a helping hand, you know, sending supplies, the donating money and stuff like that. So, you know, we'll be all right. We'll rebuild stronger than ever, stronger than before, and we'll find a way. You know, that's one thing about the Bahamas. You know, we always, as Bahamian people, always keep our head up and keep moving forward.
Dan, you mentioned that these keep coming. You know, Maria in 2017 hit Puerto Rico. That had a big impact on the baseball world as well. That, you know, there's obviously a lot more players in pro baseball from there than the Bahamas. So there was more stories about it, I think. And I'm so grateful that you guys are getting the word out for anybody that doesn't realize how bad things are. And Chavez, I think you've done quite a bit to raise money. Talk about what you've done to actually help the cause down there over the last couple months.
I actually just closed out the account, whereas in a month I end up raising up to $12,050 and
wow,
send it up to the Salvation Army there in the Bahamas. So I sent it, so the account was directly to Nassau, because the base is actually in Nassau, and they'll spread it through between Freeport and Abaco, what's needed.
So Lou, you know, Chavez doing a great job raising money. Everybody, I feel like everybody that's here in the States being part of pro baseball that's from the Bahamas is doing something to try to kind of get the word out, whether it's actually helping to raise money or just to provide people with knowledge of what's up. How much pride does that give you that you guys are all doing a lot to kind of get the word out?
Man, that's special. That just shows the character of, you know, the guys we have playing professional baseball in the United States. You know, we all are, well, I'm speaking for them. They're all great men, you know, and it shows how much we care about our country. And we're thankful for the many celebrities and whoever donated to the Bahamas. But I'm especially thankful and proud of the guys that, you know, did whatever they could, whether it was a food drive or their ball club or, you know, GoFundMe to raise funds to send down. Whatever they did, no matter how big or small a contribution was, it all made a difference, and it just shows how, you know, how special these young men are.
Yeah, another guy you guys are friends with, Jazz Chisholm, obviously. He collected some supplies, I know, at Marlins Park and got it sent down there. You're down there now. We mentioned that, Lou. So I know you're not in the area that was affected the most, but what's the mood like down there in the Bahamas right now since you're there in the off season right now?
It's actually picking up. You know, people are nice. Started. Yeah, it's good to see. People are starting to, you know, get back on their feet slowly but surely. You know, we in Nassau, which is the capital, a lot of people have moved there from those islands. You know, some people started to find jobs already. I know I had a vacant spot at my place. So one of my neighbors who was living in Abaco, she started living here. She got a job here. And she's on her feet. She's doing well now. She's in good spirits. You know, other people are, you know, finding the necessary, you know, clothes and stuff they need. And, you know, everybody just did an amazing job to try to help these people recover as soon as possible. And it's happening. But I'm just proud of how, you know, their spirit is not broken, you know, because it's easy to stay down when you're in that situation. But, you know, Bahamian people, they're born to fight, and you can see the fight on people's on faces and the smile. You know, everyone's smiling like nothing ever happened, you know.
All right, and we want to give a shout-out also to Ivar down there still in the Bahamas. He's the guy that designed our logo here for the PVO podcast, so shout-out to him as well, doing the great work that he does on the design front. All right, let's get into the main attraction here in the offseason as far as the Bahamas go. That is the Don't Blink Home Run Derby. It's coming again. I actually had questions when the hurricane went through and everything about whether or not you guys would be able to pull this together again this year. But, Todd, give us an update. We're on track here for the Don't Blink Home Run Derby to be back this offseason.
Yep, we're on track. We're actually a little ahead of where we usually are this time. You know, we already have our jersey design set. You know, they're awesome. You know, we will be offering them for people to customize their own jerseys in a few days. That we're going to put it up on our website. It's don'tblinkapparel.com. You can fully customize them however you want. One of the jerseys represents Lucius's team. One of the jerseys represents my team. You can customize it with whatever nickname you want. It could be the player that you're pulling for, whatever number you want. And you know, it's just something that we wanted to offer this year to, you know, let people, when they come out to the beach, when they come out to Montague, you know, they're repping the team that they're pulling for and that they feel a little bit more a part of the event, you know. So the Home Run Derby is a few months away. It's Saturday, January 4th. It's going to be exciting. We have a lot of new things that we're introducing this year. We have a lot more players that's coming down that's going to put on a show for everyone. And it's going to be exciting to see who wins the team challenge. You know, Lucius and I will host a draft coming soon. And, you know, last year, Lou talked so much trash during the draft. So much trash. So I'm really looking forward to shooting this again because he definitely has to eat his words this year. He had all his scouts go out there and scout the players. He had on paper the best team, and they choked. At the end of the day,
you never see me eat my words because I stay 10 toes all the time, like chest out, head high. You know what I'm saying? So last year we didn't win, but you think I can fold?
It's nowhere,
Lewis, 2 years in a row.
Shavi, you gotta back me up, Shavi.
He's not on your team. He's not on. I mean, he might be, but he.
First time I see.
Hey, Tim, this Lou trying to steal my plates. This should be legal.
But check this out. I could hear from your player's voice he won't be on my team. But it's obvious.
Damn, Shavi.
You get what I'm saying? Like, this my dog. Like, we go way, way back. Like, don't mind him being courteous to you.
So how come you didn't pick him last year?
When
okay, that's not your dog.
It has nothing. You know, this is a business, and when it comes down,
business. Xavi, he's saying you no good.
I never said that, but you.
Xavi hit more home runs than Brinson, a big leaguer, and Monte Harrison, who was the most
Let's ask Tim. Tim, I'm used to you know, I go by my gut, and I go by what I see, right?
Using advanced metrics.
Yes, scouts. Okay, he doesn't go by his gut, Tim.
Todd, we all know scouts report to somebody, don't they? You think scouts draft people? The scouts put in their recommendation, and then they have to go to somebody, and that person, I'm the boss here. You get what I'm saying?
You should get fired from your own team.
I just want overslot. That's all.
Tim, I just want you to. If I see a guy who played in the major leagues or whatever, I know once you get on that stage, it's different. Like, I don't care what people do, what home run derbies they do. Once you get on the stage in the Bahamas, you could get scared, you know, if you ain't built that way.
I
felt like this guy who I picked, he played in front of bright lights, a lot of fans. I thought he would have showed up. I was wrong. You know, you can't be right always in life, you know, and this was the first time I was ever wrong. So I guess I'm just gonna learn from it. That's all.
I like that you're not naming names. You're just saying this player.
Todd, want to name, throw people under the bus and name calling this. I'm way more professional than that, Tim. I'm way more professional than that.
So Chavez, where do you think you should be drafted? How highly should you be picked? We got to pin these guys against each other.
I'm top three rounder. I think, thank God, you know, Todd believed in me last year. I got picked in the sixth round, you know. I think I lived up to it, you know. I lived up to the hype, you know. I deserve to go third round. I'm getting bulk up this year.
Team Todd promotes dirty behavior and unclean sports. The professionalism between me, my team, and Todd's team is not even close. I'm far superior. Right. I'm not gonna, you know, get fined by the league for what you call that? Like what they call it in the NBA?
Recruiting players?
Right. I'm not gonna get fined right here. Y'all trying to set me up. You know what I'm saying? But I like what I saw Chavez last, and I'll keep it in mind. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. You feel me?
But on the flip side of that...
I got some drip, though. I can let y'all know that. Nah, I got some drip.
Yeah, so, Tim, within the Home Run Derby Day, you know, is one of the media outlets that cover the Home Run Derby Day. They cover the custom shoes competition. So they seed the shoes up that everyone wears, and they let the fans vote on Instagram who has the better shoes out of each other. So it's very interesting. I think it's something that people should look at because, you know, all the players that come down really express themselves through their kicks. And it's something that, you know, we promote highly to everyone. You know, make sure you customize some shoes however you want it. You know, just be as creative as you feel like you want to be. You know, that's what the whole event is about, you know, to be who you are with no restraints.
It's like Players Weekend, but better.
Players Weekend
times 100.
So,
and we'll be, you wait till we do our PVO podcast.
Oh yeah,
from the beach.
We're definitely shooting an episode when you guys come down this year, for sure. Okay. No doubt about that.
All right, so that's coming, and there'll be plenty more trash talking between now and January 4th when the whole thing goes down there in the Bahamas. But let's get ahead of this thing and move on to the MLB playoffs because it's been awesome so far. Three of these four division series going the distance to five games. We're recording this on Thursday, so Wednesday night, unbelievable game between the Dodgers and the Nationals. Howie Kendrick hitting the grand slam in extra innings to win it and to beat the Dodgers. The Cardinals down the Braves, who I think a lot of people thought would make a run. So suddenly you got some upstart teams in the National League, and then in the American League, it's kind of the same old with the Yankees and the Astros and Lucius's Rays, who are still, as we record this, still alive. Game 5 coming up tonight. So let's start there because it's Lou's boys down there with Tampa Bay trying to upset the Astros, who are trying to win the World Series for the second time in 3 years. How cool has it been, Lucius, just watching these guys that obviously you're close with, they're in the organization with you, performing in the playoffs like they have?
You know, it's just been such an amazing thing to see. You know, actually, like, being around in Major League spring training this past year and seeing everyone, like, put in the work, put in the time. You know, we had one goal in mind. The first day we met in spring training, it was to, you know, prove everyone wrong. You know, we always felt like as an organization, as a whole, we could compete with any team, you know, no matter the payroll. You know, we have such an amazing front office. You know, they, you know, had a vision, and, you know, we traded for some guys. We signed some veteran guys who they felt would, you know, help the ball club. And, you know, to actually see that, you know, work, no matter what happens tonight, I'm sure everyone in the entire Tampa Bay Rays organization is very, very proud. And it's just a stepping stone into, you know, years to come. We feel like we have a very, very deep farm system, and we feel like we can, you know, win for many, many, many years to come. So actually seeing these guys, you know, have the success they're having, and, you know, playing with that swag and, you know, that energy, you know, we feel like we belong, and I know that we belong, and hopefully we show the world that we belong tonight.
Yeah, I thought that series was headed to an absolute sweep, and then the Rays go home and just took care of business, and now they're back in Houston. Should be a cool game 5 the way they've battled back and fought. Overall, Chavez, I'll go to you next. You guys, you know, fight hard all year long down in the minors trying to make your way up the ladder. Do you get a chance? Are you locked into the playoffs and watching all these games, or do you get away from it a little bit?
Yeah, I'm watching the playoffs a little bit, but when Bo came and Tom on the road, when he came to play the Tampa Bay Rays, obviously he rigged the pitchers there, but but he came back, right? We was talking, he was like, bro, like their pitching staff is disgusting. Like disgusting. They are like pitchers who throw from every angle, you know, sinkers, 97, 98 sinkers. Come on, you can't hit that. But, like, I was thinking, man, like, the Rays, probably the best team in the whole, like, division right now, like, to win everything. Obviously, they got to go through the Astros. That ain't fair. If they had to play, like, the Cardinals or the Braves or something like that, they would have mashed them up. They have to go to the Astros. So, if they beat, I'm telling you right now, if they beat the Astros, they win the World Series. Their pitching is disgusting. Disgusting. I'm telling you guys.
Disgusting. What do you think, Todd?
You know, I feel, I honestly thought before the playoffs start that the Dodgers would have ran through the NL. Obviously, I was wrong. You know, I felt that they bringing Kershaw in last night in the whatever inning that was, that, you know, they could have used their bullpen more before they brought him in. Honestly, I'm not a manager, but I definitely wouldn't have brought him in right now in that situation. I feel that, you know, late in the game you need power arms, you know, guys that throw a little harder, because Kershaw doesn't have, you know, the fuel that he used to have. And, you know, the pitches he threw were strikes, but they were right down the middle, and it's just, you know, I kind of feel bad for him because every year in the playoffs is just awful. So he's unreliable in the playoffs. And his post-game interview, watching that yesterday, it's like, wow. Like, I felt that he cared but didn't really care, because of the way he answered the questions. I felt that it was almost like he just like, whatever. Instead of, you know, like, versus the starter, when he gave his post-game interview, you know, he's really emotional about it, because he pitched really well the whole game, and, you know, he held the team into a position where they could have won the game. You know, all they had to do was close out the last few innings. But, you know, I feel that this year's the year of the Yankees. You know, I'm not pulling for the Rays because my boy losing on the team yet. But I feel like I feel like this is the year of the Yankees. The Yankees are playing really well. know, it's just their pitching staff just has to lock it down. In the ALCS and the World Series, and I feel like their bats could compete with anyone in baseball right now. But, you know, going off of New York teams, man, Tim, I feel so bad for my guy Ras and his son Adrian. Oh my God, the Jets.
I knew this was coming.
Awful. Oh my God, my boy Lucius can be a better quarterback than their quarterback right now. If you see Lucius throw a football, he could sign a contract for the rest of the offseason and help the Jets win like three games at least.
Really?
At least. Because they are, I feel bad that Ras's son gets excited to dress up in Jets uniform.
Well, it's Ras's fault. He could have told his son to root for the Giants, although
that's
they're not very good.
Or Pittsburgh or something, because Pittsburgh isn't very far. But oh my God, they suck. I feel bad for Le'Veon. He can't get any yards. Although he got paid, you know, he got, it's just looks like a terrible place to be in right now. So, you know, Taras, I know you're listening right now. I feel bad for you. I feel bad for your son. And hopefully they can at least win one game for you this year, because the Browns at least won two, and they would have won football. So hopefully they can win a game for you.
All right, off the rails a little bit there, getting into football. Let's get back to baseball a little bit. We'll reel you back in here, Todd. Ras appreciates it, though. I'm getting texts from him as we do this. But seriously, let's do some quick predictions, because we had the Cardinals beat the Braves. And actually, before we get to predictions, I did want to get the take on Ronald Acuna Jr., because let's be honest, guys, we've been on this podcast and we have celebrated the emotions of players this season and the bat flips and the excitement and you know, the next generation taking over the game. And I am all for that. I love it. But there's a line there where you can't do what Acuna did in game one of that series between the Cardinals and the Braves. And that is hitting one out to right field and watching it, and then it doesn't get out. And you end up on first base in a game that ends up being a one-run game. It was a tough look, Chavez, and I mentioned it. We've talked about, you know, let the kids play and all that stuff, and we're all in favor of it. But there's the line there, right, where you still got to hustle the first base.
Hey, like, I don't know, because I remember I pimped a boy in Lansing last year. Oh, my goodness. I walked to first base. but I ain't gonna lie, I mean, for that, like, for him, I mean, he's a fast guy. That's a double, like
at least a double.
Yeah, you could pimp it, but I mean, I think you should be on second, especially this is the playoffs. Like, y'all trying to win. Like, I get it. You thought it was a home run, but like, you're a fast guy. You know, that's one of your biggest tools as well. And for you to help your team, I mean, you're not helping your team with just a little single. You're helping your team even more if you get double or more, you know? So I think, but it still was a nice hit though.
Yeah, it certainly was. And he had a home run later in the game as well. And he's so talented, obviously one of the best players in the game, and threatening to kind of, I think, join Mike Trout as the best two players in the game, but he's got to get that figured out, I think, because if he does it in the regular season, Lucius, if he does that in the regular season, maybe he gets benched or something, but everybody moves on. You do it in the playoffs with everybody watching, and then suddenly there's all these writers around the country that are talking bad about you, and suddenly it becomes a reputation. And that's what I think he's got to avoid, right?
For sure, for sure. You know, you said it earlier, he has so much talent. Like, he could go down as one of the greatest to ever play the game of baseball, period, you know. But like you said, it's just certain things you can't do. And especially playoff baseball, where every run matters, every out matters, you know, everything is under a microscope. And you just have to lock it in, man. You know, there's so much on the line that you kind of have to be perfect to win. I know no one is perfect, but everyone has to do their job. And like you said, it was a one-run game. If he got the second, maybe a base hit, you know, like every out matters, every run matters. And I feel like you just got to play hard, man. You just can't do that. Like, I understood what everyone in the Braves organization was saying, but you know, he's a young guy also. I'm sure he'll learn from it, and that's all he can do. hopefully he don't make the same mistake again.
Yeah, that's the thing. He is 21 years old, and you'd think he'll hopefully take something from that, and it's something where he'll be able to look back on it and say, all right, you know, it was something I learned along the way, but you know, I got better because of it. Todd, any last thoughts on that topic?
You know, I agree with both Lucius and Chavez. The only thing that I didn't like about the whole situation was that they tried to portray the loss as it was Acuna's fault.
Right, and then he hits the home run late to get him close. So that, yeah, no, I agree with you on that.
And they were up in the eighth and ninth inning, and the pitchers blew it. So it was like, although he made the mistake early in the game, he still was able to hit a clutch home run late in the game to bring them closer. But, you know, that game, they shouldn't have lost that game. If they didn't lose that game, they would have been playing in the NLCS right now. But I just didn't like how they tried to portray him as the villain in that game. That team's loss was not on him at all. He made a dumb mistake that I'm sure that he, you know, regretted, and, you know, something that he really thought of, and something that he actually made up for late in the game. But I just wasn't a fan of how they tried to portray him as the villain.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, prediction time. Chavez, you're the guest, so I'm going to let you go first. Let's go. So American League's tricky because you're basically taking either the Yankees or the Rays-Astros winner. And then in the National League, obviously, it's Nationals or Cardinals. So who do you like meeting in the World Series?
I want the Rays and Nationals.
See, you're just kissing up to Lou.
No, I'm telling you.
He wants that first pick, Tim.
I tell you that too.
Yeah, I like all the answers Chavez is giving. All for my list right now. What?
That's bribery.
I got a star next to his name.
Raising Nationals, I call it, and Raising.
All right, Raising Nationals. That'll be fun because it's two teams that have never won the World Series. So that'll be he's certainly cool to kind of have some new blood and a new champion. How about you, Lou? And keep it short because we keep losing your connection.
All right. Hey, Tim, this kind of I'm in like a tough position, right?
Well, you're allowed to just take the Rays. That's fine. We're all okay with you just taking the Rays.
All right. I'll tell you this. Before the Rays got this far, I was thinking Houston versus the Dodgers, right?
Okay, but that was actually my prediction too.
After,
ahead of it all.
After all the shakeup and seeing how the Rays came back this, that, and the third, I got the Rays versus the Nationals. And why I say the Nationals is this: they played the wild card game against the Brewers. They came back and won that game. And I've seen this movie before. I don't remember what what the movie name was, but I seen this movie before. And, you know, I just feel like destiny or a little lucky, because some people might say luck, but it's going their way. And for them to beat the Dodgers at home, some good is going their way. So I got the Nationals going to the World Series against. Yeah, I'm gonna just stick with the Rays because if I don't pick the Rays, I'm gonna get beat up when I get back.
That seems fair. Todd, what do you got?
I get the Yankees and the Nationals. I like I said, I think this is the year of the Yankees. As long as their pitching staff holds up, I think they see the Yankees.
Yeah, they're gonna hit with anybody, but they gotta keep people off the board. My prediction. Yeah, before it all started, I said Dodgers-Astros. Obviously, the Dodgers are done. I'll stick with the Astros anyway. Sorry, Lou. But I made the prediction earlier. And I'm going to go Cardinals just to be a little different. Ooh, since you guys Cardinals. All took the Nationals. Yeah, I don't know.
Hey,
there's something like, about the Cardinals.
That'll definitely be a good series, Tim.
Oh, for sure.
No doubt about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Astros-Cardinals, yeah. You have the those are the two front offices that have stolen information from each other over the years. It'll be really computer hacking. Who knows what'll happen when they meet in the World Series? So that's it for predictions. All right, almost ready to wrap up this episode of the show. But Todd, you had some thoughts this week. Tim Tebow coming out making some comments about college athletes getting paid. Obviously, it's a big topic in the news over the last maybe 5 to almost 10 years now. But it's growing more and more popular as far as a talking point. So give us your thoughts. Get it off your chest. Let us know how you feel about that.
You know, Tim Tebow was incredibly adamant of why college athletes should not be paid. My thing is, Tim Tebow comes from a well-off family. They make decent amount of money. He never had to struggle a single day in his life. He was the guy at Florida. He went to the NFL now. He's in professional baseball. I feel that he has no right to speak for the vast majority of college athletes. Like, these college athletes at these big-time schools, Division I schools, and schools just across all of college, they bring in millions and millions and maybe even billions of dollars of revenue for these colleges. The athletes should be paid. They already have two jobs in one, being the athlete first, because it's not student-athlete. That's what they preach, but it's actually athlete-student. So I feel that they should begin some income for their likeness, their image, and their name.
Yeah, and it's happening because, you know, the governor of California signed it into law just recently with LeBron James, that in California, college athletes, student athletes can make money off their likenesses. So it's certainly moving in the right direction, and maybe that's the first step, because then you're not talking about colleges actually necessarily paying these guys, but the money coming in for their likenesses. You think about video games, which is kind of where all this started with Ed O'Bannon and all that stuff. So definitely a hot topic. We'll keep an eye on it here on the podcast. All right, you guys, it's your favorite part of the show, I think, and that is telling me what I should be paying attention to out there in the world of pop culture, whether it's a TV show or some music or what's going on. Now you guys have more time to think up stuff because you're not dealing with baseball all day long. So I'll start with you, Lou. What do I need to pay attention to?
The baby just he just dropped an album like last week. It's called Kirk, in honor of his father that passed away. I personally enjoyed the album, you know, from top to bottom. I didn't skip a song, so I feel like you should listen to that, Tim, and let me know what you think about it. But the baby, one of the hottest artists out right now, he definitely got all the bangers, all the hype music for sure.
Awesome. Chavez, what do you think? What are you watching? What are you listening to?
I know this movie probably a little old, but I've been killing Narcos.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm so into, like, them drug movies and stuff like that. No, because I do drugs. No, I don't. But I just like watching them, like, drug trafficking movies to see how things was done, like, back in the days.
Yeah, and how about you, Todd?
Right now, you know, last time I told you I had to watch Power. I don't know if you've seen it yet. No, Power's getting really good right now. Super good. But right now, I would say, if you haven't seen the Joker movie as yet, I went and...
Oh, I haven't, but it's on the list.
I seen it on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, and it was awesome. I feel that movie will win a lot of awards. You know, the movie, the character build-up throughout the whole movie was incredible. You know, you watch the movie and you kind of feel bad for the guy the whole time. And you just watch him transition into the Joker, like, scene by scene, and it was incredible, you know. I'm a big fan of all superhero movies and TV shows. You know, I like the Batman. I've watched Gotham, and they just brought out a new show, Batwoman. So it's kind of cool to see this movie created with how the Joker came into his likeness. And I feel that the movie just tied in a lot to, you know, the importance of mental health and how people just get beat up mentally every day and how it almost makes them go crazy. So, you know, it's a great watch. So I say, you know, whenever you have the free time, go and see it. It's an awesome movie, worth every second. And, you know, that's what I'm into right now.
Yeah, change too for the director Todd Phillips, known for his comedies, Old School, Hangover, and now he goes in this direction. One note for the Joker, though, since we do have Lucius Fox on this podcast, the movie takes place in a time before the Joker's run-ins with Batman, so Lucius Fox not in the movie.
Oh, man.
Lou's not going to go see it now. All right, last thing we always finish with is you guys got to teach me another word in Bahamian. So this is number 4, actually. I'm kind of on my way at this point. So what do you guys think this time? Are we going to let Chavez pick the word?
Yeah,
Chavez, yes. you want to teach them a word?
Let's go with bubbler.
What?
Bubbler.
Bubbler. That's easy.
Yeah.
So you gotta explain bubbler. The word.
Yeah, you gotta kinda use it in a sentence. Well, not use it in a sentence, but
you know, use it as like not really expensive or like something not worth a lot. It's like really cheap. Let's just say like you get a 1995 Honda, right? And you'd be like, man, yeah, man, I driving in my bubbler today. I driving in my Honda today. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, I gotcha.
Oh, you get one little Nokia. Or you get one little Nokia. See what I'm saying? I don't know if you have, you remember them Nokias. See what I'm saying? them big, big phone. You can't even fit in your pocket. We call them bubblers. Man, me call you on my bubbler real quick. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So bubbler is the word.
So what you're saying is as we get through this podcast and it's been a little bit of a battle for Lou down in the Bahamas, his Wi-Fi has been bubbler.
Yeah, it's
yeah, you got a
bubbler. He got a bubbler.
I got a real bubbler for Wi-Fi.
You Wi-Fi bubbling, man.
All right, good stuff. Hey, Chavez, thanks for joining us, man. Good stuff, and good luck the rest of the offseason at the Home Run Derby and everything else down there in the Bahamas. Congratulations on the work you've put in to raise some money, and thanks for being part of the show. All right, that's going to do it for this edition. Some thanks out there that we want to thank our executive producer who has we mentioned it. He roots for the Jets. He gets by anyway. He's also a Yankee fan, though, so he's having plenty of wins right now. That's Raziel Guevara. We thank him. Don'tblinkapparel.com. Check it out. They present this podcast. It's the PVO podcast, part of the Projectable Productions podcast network. Email us as well if you have some notes, pvopod@gmail.com. Maybe next time on the podcast we'll take some questions again like we did a few times ago. And then on Twitter, we are at @PVO_pod. I'm Tim McMaster. They are Todd Isaacs, Lucius Fox, and Chavez Young. Thanks for joining us, guys, and thank you for listening.
Appreciate it, man, you know. Hollywood to the world.
Yes, sir. Peace out. Everybody trying to talk. I ain't trying to talk. I'm trying to click. I'm trying to send somebody with. Somebody let me know what's happening. I last them KRK Kirk. You know how I rock behind my dad. You know I never gave a f*** about the words. It's about my family. How the f*** I make it to the top. The same day I lost the n*** they had. I perform on BET and a year ago. Couldn't afford a sound. I had to move in with TG when I went broke. Moving out the cash. You know about...